related to Yerushalayim, at least the concepts are related to us everywhere. The the connection between weddings and Chorban is actually made in a positive sense. The Gemara in Brachos says that every marriage is like rebuilding Yerushalayim. Right? Take a look at this interesting Gemara in Brachos. Amar Rav Yechalba, Amar Rav Huna, Kol Anena, Misudas Chasan, Ve'eno Misamcho, Over B'chamisha Kolos. So if you come to the Sudas Chasan, right, the shmorg, the meal.
What part is it? What part of the Sudas Chasan?
What part
is it? The shmorg, or is it the...
I guess it's any... I don't know, by the time you get the meal, you know, who has koach anymore? But what it means is the reason that you're there is to be mesameach the chasad and the kala. Over b'chamisha kolos, I heard from a Talmud of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein that when he used to go to a wedding, this is a man who took his time very seriously. He's the one that they tell the story. It sounds like the Netziv that Motzei Tisha B'Av, the first thing he did was go to the Beis Medrash for a few hours because he can't learn on Tisha B'Av, and that's what he missed more than water and food. But when he was invited to a wedding, he would stay, I heard this from Meish Taragan, until the end, the second dance, because he felt it was so important to be Misameach L'chasan and Kala, right? Which sounds like him. Not just, you know, a little dance and then they're off. So if you are nana misudas chasan ena misamcha over b'chamisha kolos shenemar kol chasan v'kol simcha kol chasan v'kol kala kol omrim hodos Hashem tzvakos v'misamcha maschara omer Rishon ben Levi zocha l'torah shenitna b'chamisha kolos. If you are misameach chasan, you're zocha the Torah because Torah was given with five kolos, and there are the word kol is mentioned five times in context of a chasana, etc., etc. And then it says, Ki'ilu hikriv toda. And then Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Ki'ilu mbana achaz mecharvos Yerushalayim shenamar, Ki ashiv eshvus ha'aretz kebarishona Amar Hashem. That when you have more weddings, and some link this to the simcha, the ahavas chinam, which is the antidote for sinas chinam. Some link it to the fact that it's rebuilding. Right, that any time you rebuild something meaningful, it takes away from the destruction of the Chorban. But you do see that weddings are an antidote to the Chorban Yerushalayim.
Is that what the expression to build a bias in Naman came from? You're building a bias?
Maybe I have no idea.
Maybe some connection.
Could be. The restrictions on weddings, right, are the following. On the happiness at weddings, famous Gemara and Brachos that we talked about on Shabbos afternoon, that you had, the Gemara talks about Gilu Birada, rejoice with trembling. What does that mean? The Gemara takes that to mean that you should never let yourself get lost in joy, such that you lose your head. And the Gemara gives two examples of cases where people were getting too joyous. Rav Ashi Avad Hilula Lebre, Rav Ashi made a wedding for his son, Chazanhu l'Rabbanan, not Bachram, Rabbanan. He saw the rabbis, the Habukabat Chituva, they were joking too much. I see Kasa de Zugisa Chivarta, Vitavar Kamayu, he took white glass and he broke it in front of them, V'iyatzivu, and they became sad. Okay, from here you have the minhag to break a glass at a wedding. As we pointed out in the Shir on Shabbos, the earliest source doesn't say it has anything to do with Chorban. It just has to do with make sure that things don't get out of hand at weddings. Tosa says, I see kasa de zugisa chivarta mikan nago l'shaber zchuchis b'nisuin. So you have the Gemara Bracho says, dance away. If you don't dance, it's terrible. If you dance, it's wonderful. You get schar, and any wedding is like rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. You have a Gemara and Brachos on the Aflamid that says, don't let yourself get carried away. And then you have a series of takanos that are made post-Chorban. And I didn't put them all in here, but there are some of them have to do with weddings. One says, put a little bit of ashes on the forehead of the chasan. So under his chuppah, he remembers Yerushalayim. One says women, girls at their weddings should not wear certain types of tiaras made of silver because it's too fancy and it's post-Korban. And the Rama says we break a glass to remember the Beis HaMikdash. And exactly. And it says that women shouldn't wear all their jewelry. What exactly does that mean is hard to know in today's society. But there were restrictions placed on many things, but specifically weddings. One area that it seems like restrictions were not made was music at weddings. If you take a look, the Shulchan Aruch talks about music nowadays. The Mishnah and Sota says that there was a takana made historically approximately 40 years before the Korban. They made a takana that limited the music, right? How limited was it is a big machlokas. We've done it a different shir, but they placed limitations on music. But if you take a look at how it ends up in Shulchan Aruch, in Tavkov Samach, V'chein gazru shalo l'nagen b'klei shir v'chol minei zemer v'chol mashmiya kol shir shir l'sameach b'hem. The Mechaber's opinion is, you cannot play music, says the Rama, yeshomrim dafka misha ragil b'hem kigon ha-malachim sh'omdim v'shofim b'klei shir Obebeis Hamishta, which is Ashkenazi practice, in a tavern where there's just drinking, you can't listen to music, and if you do it all the time, okay, which for another shir. Bafilu shir bepala yayin asur shenemar b'shir lo yishtu yayin ufarnagu kol yisrael lomar divrei tishbachos o shir shel hodas v'zicharon chasdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu al hayayin. For our purposes, says the Haggah, v'chein letzorech mitzvah. Right? Whatever chumras are there, litzorach mitzvah, you can listen to music. So even Sfardim, who are very machmir about listening to music, they are mekel for weddings. Kigon bebeis chasen bekala hakol shari. So even though there's a takana on music, we know that we're worried anyway about weddings getting out of hand. We know that specifically at weddings, there were things that they wanted done. Ashes on the head of the chassid, break the glass, right? No tiaras. That being said, the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, chassid v'kala is exempted. Why? Take a look at Tosfos number 5, Zimmer Minalan da Aser v'shir. Yeah.
This is the Shulchan Aruch is all year long. You're talking mm-hmm. about or only mm-hmm. Tisha B'av.
All year long.
Even though it's in Hilchos Tisha B'av. Okay.
This is all year long, yeah. This is Hilchos Tavkuf Samach and Zecher L'Chorban. Says the Tosfos, V'shir shal mitzvah shari kigon b'shas chupa sha'osin l'sameach chasen v'kala. Shas chupa, wedding music is extremely important. This is a plug for Nasi Gross. You see how important it is from a psak, it's debated, but it made its way into Shulchan Aruch, that what happens if you have a wedding on Friday. You have a wedding on Friday, and it goes into Shabbos. Can you have music at the meal? Right? So you would say, of course not. I mean, have music at the meal. Who's going to play? It's Shabbos. Take a look at Shulchan Aruch. I didn't make this up. Number 6. Yesh matirim lomar la'akum. This is Hilchos Shabbos. L'nagen b'chlei shir b'chupos. Yesh omrim. It's the Ravya. Avia Ezri, who allows you to have a non-Jew play music at a chuppah on Friday night. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the Isser Hashmas Kol B'Klei Shir Eino El Isser D'Rabbanan Gezer Hashem Yitakin Klei Shir Ba'amir Leinu Yudah Gamken Eino El Isser D'Rabbanan Ha'vishvus D'Shvus B'Mako Mitzvahi De'ein Simchas Chasen V'Kala Ela B'Klei Shir V'Shari. This is the ikar simcha at a wedding is music, but not just singing, klei shir, because you could have bring in a choir, specifically klei shir. And I put the Beis Yosef. This comes from the Rav Yah.
Could I have a non-Jew play the organ in my temple?
Yes, very good.
What's happening?
So what's important to notice is this is
non-Jew play the organ every week.
Sure. This is before the this became a big issue, And now, you know, it's still associated with reform. There was a time before the 845 started. It really started with a group of people who used to do their own Kabbalah Shabbos, and they wanted to have instruments at it. And the question was, and they would play the instruments. And the question was for me was, at what point do they have to stop playing the music, right? So really, probably just a couple of minutes before Shkia, I told them that whenever candle lighting is, they should stop, because that's when people are going to come into shul, and if they see music at Kabbalah Shabbos, they'll think we're Reform. But yes, this is the early Reform had a svara that you have non-Jews playing music, right? Which is they considered it shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch brings another opinion. The poskim at the end of the day don't agree with this, but for our purposes, it just shows you they considered music at a chuppah or at a wedding to be important enough that in Shulchan Aruch this is an example of mutter. You can have a non-Jew play on Friday night post chuppah. Take a look at this ma'aril. Unbelievable.
Post chuppah meaning what? During the meal?
Yeah. Take a look at this ma'aril. Ma'aril is writing in the 1400s in Germany. Sipir lanu ma'ase she'ira lefana v'asher mesa moshelas ha'medina. The queen of the country died. Lichvoda tziba ha'moshel shelo lenagen b'chol ha'medina osa ashana b'shum kleishir. A takana made in 1400s that nobody can play music for a year following the death of the ruler. Ira lios nisuim b'yushiva echa tachas memshalto tocha osashana. Somebody was going to make a wedding that year, right? Weddings back then were not, you know, like we have today all the time, right? You have these small villages. Somebody was going to make a wedding in that village. Shalu mimari segel im lasos nisuim b'li klei zemer. They said, should we do a wedding without musical instruments? Haya harav moralahem shelo yasu nisuim b'lo klei zemer du ikar hasimcha shachasin v'kala. Don't make a wedding without music. So basically saying, see how careful they are about the takana. If the taverns are playing and it's just on the books and nobody's listening, play music. But go do it. You can't do it in Shomrei, do it in Beth Tefillah. Right, do it in Hunt Valley. V'chein asu shahalchu gimel parsos meir Eipenstein kila kedosha magenza v'asu shama nisuin b'chlei zemer. Now, back then they didn't have cars, right? They didn't have trains. They all traveled. You inconvenience everyone to go to Lakewood for the wedding, right? But they did that so they could have music. Now remember, they have another option. You can have singers. Right, it's klei zemer, and Ma'aril says music at a wedding is important enough that you make it elsewhere.
I was at a wedding of a girl who had lost her parents, and they walked down the aisle absolutely sad.
Really?
What would you say about that? I mean, she's not supposed to listen to music in her ear.
Not just that. There's a famous tshuva from Rav Moshe about a wedding in the middle of Shiva. It doesn't sound like, you know, it sounds like you make some accommodation, but it doesn't sound like you go that far. There are minhagim. I think Lubavitch has a very somber music when they walk down.
Yes, the altar everything.
Right?
It sounds like a funeral dirge.
Okay, but no, I've never had no.
At that point, my aunt was nifter once in Shabbos. The entire Erlem had gathered for the wedding on Sunday, and they called her Maisha, and they said, put the next terrace in the funeral home. And they had the wedding on Sunday, and it was Lebedik and everything. The funeral was on Monday, and my mother was incensed that her sister was lying in a funeral home, and the wedding, and her son got married,
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, this is the beginning of Ksubos, and the Shulchan Aruch is very makel. The later poskim, the Shulchan Aruch was very makel, interestingly enough, because of the hefset. People would spend, you know, life savings to prepare the wedding meal, and then it wasn't easy to do it again, and it was a lot of waste. And then things got better, so they sort of changed it. And now, if you look in Svarim, the Chachmas Adam and others, it really depends on the level of Shas Adchak. Yeah, everybody's already come in for the wedding, and but those are not simple situations. Maybe we'll do a share on it. But what I want to show you is the Ma'aril assumes music is important enough. He tells them to go travel a distance to make a wedding. The Shulchan Aruch says that, brings the opinion that you can have non-Jews play music on Shabbos as, you know, following up a wedding that took place before Shabbos because it's that important. And I think that is why when you have takanos made at weddings, it doesn't sound like anybody said, okay, let's limit the music at weddings. Right? No. So somebody threw a glass, broke a glass, ashes on the head of the chassan, no tiara for a kala, but nobody said, let's do something about the music, I think intentionally, because music at weddings is extremely important. One more thing that I'll show you, amazing Rav Moshe Tshuva. It's in context of something else. Nira, dekemosh im hachasan ina rotze lasa suda, ukrove akala rotzim shiyasa suda, kofinoso. What happens if you have a chief chasan? You know what? I mean, I don't want to pay for a meal for everyone. And the kala's family says that's crazy. You can force the chasan to make a meal. Lefichvodo, lefichvodo, kemefirsh be'evan ezer simon samachdal tziv dalid. So that, he says, is mafurish. Kain gamim lo yirtza chasan b'klei zemer, yesh lakuf oso likach klei zemer. I don't need a band. Right? This Rav Moshe is important for zemer orchestra to know. You can force the chasan. Right? This is the beginning of flops or whatever. You force the chasan to higher band. I am Berhetev Shamsi Kat in Zion.
How many instruments?
Ah.
He may say, I only want two instruments.
I want it rough. Ba'almon Shanasa Basula, Loretta Laharbus Ein Habal Yachala Akev, De Ola Imo Veino Yeredis Imo, Pasha Chimitzadze Yacholon Gamma Kufa Shiiskar Kle Zemer Bedamav. You can force him to have music at a wedding. So, I believe that this informs us why there was never a formal takana made on music at weddings. They considered it to be a mitzvah. Simchas chasen v'kala, untouchable. I've only been at one wedding in Yerushalayim proper where I noticed there was no music at the wedding. There was just drums.
That was it. That was
yeah? Crazy. So the question is, where did this come from? So Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, yeah.
This business of having a goyim play, mm-hmm. at the thing there, would that apply only on Friday night? Supposing we get married Wednesday or Thursday, can you have goyim playing at your suit on Friday, or is it only bedavka that got married Friday afternoon?
I don't know. Meaning Simchas Chasam Mikala, does it extend the whole week? Is a good question. I don't know.
Was the wedding with the drums inside the old city?
So I was at one inside the old city. And I remember another one that was not inside the old city. It was in Yerushalayim, but not inside the old city. Mm-hmm. So there apparently was some kind of takana made in the second half of the 19th century to greatly limit music at weddings in Yerushalayim. Some say that there were actually takanas made to limit music in all of Israel. But basically, the takana, the way it's carried out, when it is carried out, and we'll see some leniencies, is there's no instruments. There's a drum. They do not consider a drum to be a musical instrument. It's just there to keep the beat. There are singers and a drum, and that's it. So Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld has a tshuva about this, and somebody says, right, how do you get a kula? You make it into a chumrah. Listen, you know, there's no instruments and we hear the women singing, let's get instruments to drown out the women. That's basically how it was presented to Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. We need to change this. This chumrah is not really a chumrah, right? Nistapakti, ha'im yesh limchos b'poyer ha'kodesh Yerushalayim b'simchas chasa mekala sheminagdim b'klei zemer hinei la'asher nimtzu harbe rabbanim ambay mechutzaretz v'kasha aleim atakana mishum kol b'isha. Aval eno yodea klal da'as ha'gedolim shetiknezos im haya begeda hora asha v'chadome. We don't know. When did this come about? Is it still applicable? Tshuva. Hagon Bal Imre Bina. This was, I believe, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, Rav Meir Orbach, who was a Rav in Yerushalayim in the 1860s. Shamati Asa Ha'iser. V'echad Shelo Chashash V'zilzabo Ne'enash Kasher Rachmana Litzlan. This always makes things a little spooky. He says, you know what? The Imre Bina made this, and somebody didn't listen, and something bad happened to him. Right? That's what he says. Mm-hmm. He has a follow-up.
So he's saying you have to
keep it. Sounds like he's saying you have to keep it.
No. Why is this Kol Isha issue a problem?
What?
Why is the Kol Isha a problem? If you have a whole bunch of women singing, it's not a problem.
So not everybody agrees with the Trei Koli issue. Because the Gemara says that Trei Koli is not, if one Kol is Chaviv,
right,
then... So,
that's different.
Okay, so not everybody.
You may have one woman getting going crazy, you know, with a lot of
wives. So this, okay. If you take a look, let's skip 12 and 13 for now. Take a look at 14. Somebody asked if he should make a mecha for people playing music at a wedding in Yerushalayim. And he says, in his answer,
what is a mecha?
A mecha? A protest.
Protest.
Right, nowadays they don't ask if they should protest. But back then they still asked. Tshuva. Kvar kasafti shagon bal imre bina gazar alza. Vishamati mi marana hagon de brisk. Sha'amar bevadai birushalayim rai akopanam. Behevi meha shabbos kinach nafshe hare chorben bez amikdash le'enenu.
What does this mean then?
He said it still continues. Mm-hmm. He says he heard from the Gaon of Brisk, who is the Maharil Diskin. It's not Rav Chaim, it's the Maharil Diskin, that this takana was made, who was a rabbi in the early 1900s in Yerushalayim. This takana was made because of the Chorban. And he brought a Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Yud. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Chinach nafshe derav, Gaza Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna Deleka Delimtaya Asa Vegidme Lebe Hilula Betavla. There used to be some kind of ceremony. They used to bring myrtles and different branches while somebody played drums. And they made a takana. After Rav died, they would no longer do this at weddings. So Azal Iu Amti Asa Vegidme Lebe Hilula Betavla. Somebody violated this takana. Harke Chivaya Vamis, and he died. So the Salmas Chaim says if it's appropriate to make some kind of limitations on festivities at weddings because Rav died, then Kol Shekein on the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Now the obvious question is, number one, Chazal didn't make this Takana, right? Chazal are there in Yerushalayim. They never said no more music in Yerushalayim, right? And number two, what about the fact that music is so important at weddings? So to that, I found a Radvaz early this morning. Number 13, he says something interesting. Od somchim kimasha amru she'en simcha ela b'chle shir, efshar ba'artso samhu, aval ba'artso senu yesh simcha b'basar v'yayin v'shir b'peh. You know, we know how to have enough simcha with wine, meat, and a cappella music. L'shor el'shabech az Hashem yisparach v'shirim v'krovos shetiknu arishonim. But the question is, where did this come from? So I found a translation of a book called Heavenly City. I couldn't find the book in Hebrew, but I found a blog post. Looked like a very nice post. And he translates from number 15. In the Heavenly City, Menachem Gerlitz, who researched Yerushalayim history by interviewing old-timers, writes that the decree was promulgated during a terrible plague that raged in 1865 to 1866 and killed many people, including some of Yerushalayim's finest Talmidei Chachamim. To find out why Hashem was punishing the city, Rav Meir Arbach made a She'elas Chalom by writing his question on a slip of parchment and placing it on his forehead when he went to sleep. Don't try this at home. At midnight, he suddenly woke and seeing before his eyes the word of the verse, behold, it is standing behind our wall. Hine omed achar koslenu. Right. Looking forth from the windows, peering through the lattices. Shir hashirim. He fell from his bed in a faint. After recovering, he went out in the dead of night to ask the Kabbalist, Rav Rafal Yedidya Abu Lafia, what the verse was hinting at. The verse, behold, he is standing behind our walls, refers to the Kosel, Rav Abu Lafia told him. The Kosel is complaining of its denigration. How can the Jews of Yerushalayim celebrate weddings with musical instruments when the Beis HaMikdash is lying in ruins? This is why we are being destroyed by a plague. The next day, Rav Meir hurriedly gathered his Beis Din to enact a decree that from now on and forever, no musical instruments should be played at Yerushalayim weddings. Within a few days, the plague ceased. Although a recent halacha work, Beis Chasana, mentions Rav Gerlitz's explanation, Moadim L'Simcha, Rav Tuvia Freund argues that if this explanation were true, why do no Sfarim or newspapers from that era mention the story? Okay, maybe he didn't tell anyone. Maybe they just made a takana without explanation.
Was there an indication of the plague?
The plague itself is well documented. Surely someone would have recorded how it ended. Rav Freund said he asked the Zikne and Chacham Yerushalayim, including Rav Yosef Shalom Eliashiv, about the matter. They told him the main reason for the decree was tznius. Not that men and women were sitting together at weddings, Chas v'Shalom, Refrain explains. Rather, due to the novelty of musical instruments in Yerushalayim at that time, women and girls would draw near to get a better view, and this sometimes led to mixing of men and women. To put an end to this, Rav Meir forbade music altogether. Although the Maral Diskin says that Minag is in remembrance of the Chorban, Referent explains this rationale is in addition to the considerations of Tznius. Which is interesting. We don't really know where this came about. But this was a takana made, they say, in 1866. We do know around that time, right? And at some point, people surely associated it with the Chorban, right? The obvious question is, why, if this is what should have been done, why didn't Chazal do it already, right? Why did it take 1,800 years to get to this, to make... It makes sense, meaning to say we don't want to limit all weddings, but we're going to limit weddings right in the presence in the old city in Yerushalayim, that we could hear. But it's very hard to understand why it took 1,800 years to make
it. Is there based on a dream? Based on like a Bas Kol. I mean, the whole thing is based on
it's a Kabbalistic stuff.
I don't know. Okay. If you take a look at page 3, I looked around. The only place where you can find this discussed is in journal articles. So I found a few interesting journal articles, and you find real debate. Does this apply nowadays to everybody? What's interesting is Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul has a tshuva. He says the Sfardim never accepted this. Maybe you Ashkenazim did this. But Sfardim never accepted this. Was it a gezeira just on people who lived there? Was it a gezeira for all time? Was it a gezeira only on the old city? Right? All of this is really debated. If you take a look on page 3, Yerushalayim HaChadasha. Mm-hmm. Yerushalayim's ever expanding. Right? So does this apply everywhere? Bekuntris El Gil Ka'amim. Maybe Masa Begadal Echad Mechutz Laretz Shehesi Es Bino BeYerushalayim Umakam Achasana Haya B'Shchunas HaBucharim. Right, that's on the old city, but it's in Yerushalayim. V'Ratza Lahavi Kli Zemer Mishum Shedima Bedato Shaiser Haya Rakal Yerushalayim Shebetoch HaChomos Kishashama Zos Hagon Rabbi Yisrael Zev Mintzberg Baal Mechaber Sefer Shut Sheiris Yisrael Halach elav ba'atzmo v'amar lo shebal toras chesed pasak sha'isr chal gam al Yerushalayim hachadasha shemichutz lachomos v'agadol hanal savar v'kibel v'sharu b'chasana below klei zemer k'minag Yerushalayim. V'chein shamati me'agon Rabbi Yosef Shalom el Yashiv Daminaku gamal Yerushalayim achadasha achotziv. The kol zehu libnei Ashkenaz bnei Sfarad lo kiblu aleihem ha'iser yecholim lahakel b'shofi ledato. V'das Rabban Tzion Abba Shaul lahakel badavar. There's other reports. The Rav Yashiv said, "What?
No, no, tape recorder.
Tape recorder. Tape recorder. Tape recorder.
Music, you know, not live music. That's what he's saying to you."
So then people debate. What if I tape Zemmer Orchestra and I pop it in the machine? Well, they don't do that anymore. I
you can't get a tape recorder anymore.
Okay.
CD.
So does it apply? Does it apply to recorded music? What did they make the takana on? Mm-hmm. So on this, we've discussed with the Isser of music during Svira in the 3 weeks. Most poskim say there are three opinions, but most poskim say that whatever the type of music that was recorded, it still has that din. If it was instrumental music recorded, it's considered instrumental music. If it was just singing, it's considered singing. There are other shitas. There's a shita that says that only live instrumental music is a problem, and there's a shita that says that if you sing but you record it, then it's considered instrumental music because the cassette is the instrument, or the gramophone is the record player. The record player is the instrument. But the mainstream shita is it depends what kind of music is recorded. So you wouldn't have a way out by playing a full orchestra, a symphony. Yes, because there the takana was on music and what kind of music makes you happy. It was never a takana on instruments. But here the takana is on instruments, meaning And if you look in Tavkuf Samach Sif Gimel, the Takana on music, where it says music, instrumental music, is the Takana, and therefore Sfardim, who are much more machmir about music nowadays, they should be able to be makel on a cappella music because it's a formal Takana. And this, too, is a formal Takana, so you'd be able to be makel to, So, thank you, Rabbi Oversteed. Yeah. Sfardim do have music. They never bought into this.
You said they don't play regular. They don't play music all year long.
So they're much more machmir on music all year long. They find ways out if it's recorded music, if it's live music for Tzorach Mitzvah. But technically, they should be much more machmir about it. If you turn to page 5, page 5 has what's recorded in a sefer called Shari Yerushalayim, third paragraph, uh-huh. Rav Moshe Reicher. Right? I don't know if he's related to Marcel. B'minhage ha'aretz shar tes, kasa v'zelashana b'chol eretz Yisrael. Ein mishi yodeh lenagen b'nevel v'chinor b'ezo anashim shabal mechutz la'aretz l'sham hayu menagdim v'chinor al hachasunos achim lo ha'arichu yamim. They didn't live very long. V'zeh b'shtei shanim ba yodeh nagan b'chinor li'ir ha'kodesh tzvas kara osa l'chasunos achar kach halach l'chutz la'aretz v'chazer v'hevi ito kinor chadash v'klarinet.
When did this guy live?
What? Taf Reish Chaf Ches.
That's about
150 years ago. So you see somebody talking about in all of Israel, and that certainly is not the minhag today. The only time you'll find people who keep this is in Yerushalayim. But he's writing about people who were uncomfortable with it in all of Israel. But if you take a look at the next page. Page 5 at the bottom. There's a sefer by Rav Yoel Schwartz. And he says, you know what? In special circumstances, we should be makel. And, what if you have Balei Tshuva? So So he's willing to be mekel for Bali Tshuva. 19. Kshiyesh sibos miyuchados shelo linhog betakana hazos yesh lasos al pichacham v'nagu b'chomer hazos al pishchunas hachadashos. He claims they even do it in Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yosh Schwartz, he's a contemporary. He lives in Ne'er Sharim. He was involved in Nafa Haredi. He's an open-minded Haredi. He says the minag is to do it all over Yerushalayim, but to make exceptions. Kigon bechasunos shabali tshuva sheikelu lasas b'chle zemer kidei lekarev rechokim abayim lechasun aviyesh lasas hakol apichacham. And then he says, there are those who say it only is a minag for those who live in Yerushalayim, and he says the Eda Haredis does not agree. But I did find, I don't think I put it in here, did I? Yes. On the last page, there are legitimate opinions. This is a safer, what?
I mean, just, when you finish.
Yesh Shekasav, Yud Aleph, on the last page. Yesh Shekasav ki toshabim mikihilos the aratzos shonos. Shehitstarfu bo lagor b'Yerushalayim la'achar zman ha'takana. Okay, you're not from the old Yishuv.
Okay.
You come now. Eina mechuyavim ba me'ikar ha'din. Af al pike noagin kein v'nimnayim milanagin v'chleizamer b'chasanas. There are opinions that say it doesn't apply, but people still keep it. V'yesh ha'sovrim ke ha'isr chala kol ha'misgorer b'Yerushalayim. And they do, somebody brings that Rav Yashiv said that although he's quoted in many places saying it should apply in all of Yerushalayim, but he says basically that people accept this only in the old city. One more thing. In Yud Beis, B'nei Chutzar Ta'orchim Chasana B'Yerushalayim, Yesh Me'aposkim Shorah Ki Chayavim Him Lino Kechumre Amakom, V'yesh Hamorah LaHakel Ba'ofen Zeh. So if you don't live there, right, there's one machlokas if you're not an old timer. You're not a fourth gen, whatever it is, your family wasn't there in the 1800s. Then it doesn't apply. And then there's some who say it certainly doesn't apply if you don't live there now. It goes by the minag of the person who's making the wedding, but
who's making it? Meaning the chasen kala or the people paying for it?
The chasen kala. They're usually the
ones
paying
for it. No,
let's
say the parents are paying for it. The parents live in America. They're coming over the chasen.
So it should go. It should go by the people paying for it.
So maybe the parents.
But at the end of the day, this is still it's a hot button issue. I imagine that the Haredis community is going to be very machmir on this. Old city, even other parts of Yerushalayim, and it's documented that many Haredim specifically use wedding halls in Beit Shemesh and in other places because, and I remember always Chevron weddings going out to B'nai Brak for, why are they doing it in B'nai Brak, you know? But I wonder, Penny Lerner, who was here, he was in Chevron when I was there, and he got married in a hotel in Yerushalayim, and I remember there being music there. That being said, I imagine that most people who make weddings in Yerushalayim come in from America. Definitely the religious Zionist community would have music. And I heard from an Ashir by Rabbi Tarrigan, he said just the opposite. They consider it, this is what we spoke about on Shabbos, when we captured the old city and the Makom HaMikdash, you still have, Letzarenu, a mosque on the holiest site, and the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt. But is it now not Bechorbana anymore? Right? It's not, you know, meaning the process of rebuilding has begun. So have things changed, and would that affect this halacha as well? On one hand, you can say, no, you know, we still are without a Beis HaMikdash, we still have Tisha B'Av, we still keep these takanos, and this special takana made in Yerushalayim, because according to the Ma'aril Diskin, it's an affront to the Chorban to have music in the holiest city when the Beis HaMikdash is not there, still applies. The other approach would be, no, look, you read that every wedding is Ki'ilu Bana Achas Mechorvas Yerushalayim, which would make us question this practice at all, and now we're in the rebuilding phase. We should should bedavka have simcha. At the end of the day, now you can have talented musicians. If you have a couple good singers and somebody keeping a beat, you can probably have great music.
Rabbi,
but yeah.
Okay. I don't know about anybody else here, but I actually did make a wedding usually.
Nice. Did they stone you?
Yeah, no. And, although I left everything up to the other side because we came in the day before the wedding.
Right.
But that's what I was thinking now. The name of the band was Revel Esheva, which was a very hush of a band back in the day, more like a hippie band kind of
like
band.
Like a Moshav.
Yeah, yeah, Moshav band. So these were like 50-year-old guys, so they hadn't played in a few years. They came out of retirement.
They might have remembered the Takana in the 1860s.
No, but now my son Shmuley got married in Yerushalayim and in the Great Synagogue because I told them I only made one request to the other side. I said, I would like to have Rabbanut Mahadrin because some of my children are kosher. And they said you could have it in the Great Synagogue. So, but the band was a regular big band. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a little thing. And I didn't hear any complaints from anybody. I mean,
right.
Now, it's possible that some people didn't stay for the meal for that reason, but I think, I thought it was just got me.
But you'd have, it's not in the old city, right? It's not in the old city, and it's being made by people who don't live there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe they consider you Balei Tshuva.
And they did live in Israel, and they still had music.
Because
I would...
One piece of music. The wedding we made in Israel, they said only one.
Where was it?
It was outside the old city, but you could stand on the balcony, you could see the hotel from where the wedding
was. And they insisted on drums?
They said, really should be drums, but we could have one piece.
Okay. Because there's, I didn't put it in here, there's a whole debate, and this is where halacha really takes on a life of its own. This is not chazal, it's not, you have this takana, we don't know who made it exactly, we don't know the circumstances Rav Meir Auerbachan is based in, but now you have debate. They did drums. Is drum means really we could have a piano, an organ, or it's specifically drums? Most poskim I saw say specifically drums, but there are some who say, no, drums just means one thing. And you have debate and debate. I just think it's fascinating that this even happened. Because, and again, we don't know the circumstances. If it happened in reaction to a plague, was it meant for all times? It's hard to know, especially if it was a reaction. Rav Yashiv says it's a reaction to tznius. And then there's a machlokas, what does that mean? Is it that music was so uncommon, everybody used to come, and there was a lot of mingling? Or others say it was specifically the Arabs used to come. The Arabs enjoyed music, and I saw it written in the Sefer, it says, and you know how the Arabs get when they hear music.
It's not a reaction to the plague. The plague is a reaction to the music, is what they said.
Yeah, no, but that making this takana was a way of stopping the plague. So it's very hard to know. I think that it's pretty interesting to see that originally nobody wanted to touch music at weddings. This was not part of the takana, but at some point it became.
If I went into Meir Shearim and brought a band, that would be violating the communal standards. Mm-hmm.
Right, but even the old city, you know, you can see the sensitivity to have a big band playing, you know, right in front of the Kotel. You know, it's easier to understand. Outskirts of Yerushalayim, you go all the way up to, you know, to Beit Meir or wherever, where technically some say it's still Yerushalayim, it's pretty far away. It's hard to hear that.
This has become an American issue now with the concept of music.
Mm-hmm.
Because with the concept of takana weddings, that weddings that should be done...
you mean a one-man band?
The concept of a one-man band, that you should do weddings with tzimtzum.
One man band says
he will not be Masada Kedushin for his Talmidim unless there's a one man band. I have a friend who is quite wealthy and had a Talmud and he wanted to have a big wedding. Mm-hmm. So he had to get around it. So he's very smart and very well connected to the Rosh Hashiva. So he's what he did was he hired a one-man band. A one-man band can be very loud and very...
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so he hired the one-man band, and he paid $10,000 to the Mazamrin to sing along with the one-man band. Uh-huh. So he got it. It was a beautiful wedding, very loud,
sure.
And they had he had everything.
Well, the one-man band
and
the
was recorded.
It's not
uh-huh.
one-man band.
It's
but I never knew whether that in our wedding it was a halakhic issue or a financial issue. I never figured that one out, the one-man band.
It could be either, because there are people that insist on one-man bands for money. We have an issue. You'll notice at Shomrei weddings when Zemer or Kol
Chaim,
when they come in, the decibel level is okay. It's when the one-man bands come in, they
turn it up.
They turn it up. You know. Yeah.